This morning we continue in our series around 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 7. This will be our third message in this progression. Last week we brought to you and talked about how Jesus died, and we talked about that. The week before, we weren't in 1 Corinthians, but we talked about the virgin birth of Jesus and the aspects of that. And why it was important that he was without sin, born without sin, and was sinless, and so he could be the sacrifice for our sins. And last week we talked about how Christ died. Today we're back in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 7, and we're going to focus on a word, and we might not focus on very often. So we're going to read the scripture again, same passage. It's a creed. It's called the Corinthian Creed. Remember, we talked about how that is that those things that remember the doctrine, and it's ready in before us in our minds. So 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read to you verses 3 through 7. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 7. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all of the apostles. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So as we look at this passage of scripture, we're going to look at the word there and it says that he was buried. You have to give me just a minute. I'm a little bit delayed because there's one lens missing from my glasses when I just put them on. So I look through there and I'm like, what? So you might have noticed I went like this and I kind of stuck my finger through my glasses while they're on my face. Because I was like, something's going on crazy here. So bear with me and we'll get caught up. But it says that he was buried. There we go, verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again. So, we won't be reading a lot of our notes today. Hopefully we'll have most of those memorized. And I might have to turn around and look at the Bible back here because it'll be blown up really big so that I can tell what's going on. But he was buried. He was buried. I'm still going to dry my glasses a little bit here. Now, it says that Christ died, and you see the words according to the Scriptures. And then you say that he arose according to the Scripture. But then the word buried is right there in the middle of them. Buried. Why is that important? Well, typically you bury someone after they die. It seems like an important point. And being buried kind of establishes this, it's the result of him having died. So he's buried. And it's important in order for him to have risen again, for him to have been buried. Some teach from the Islam that he fainted. Well, he didn't faint. These Roman soldiers that were very efficient at their job would not look well on them if they didn't actually kill him during crucifixion. That he fainted. But in that he fainted, or didn't faint, he actually died, then it follows he was buried. But there's some things about this being buried that are rather interesting. And so we're going to look to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And look at verses 50 through 56. Luke 23, 50 through 56. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. And as what that means there, he was a council member. Other places it says he was maybe a counselor. Indications are this is to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a religious ruling body. So Joseph of Arimathea was known to the religious leaders of the time. So he was known to them. Verse 51, he had not consented to their decision and deed. These are the ones that killed him, but he had not consented to their decision and deed to kill Jesus. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate. Pilate's the leader, the Roman leader, and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he, this is being Joseph of Arimathea, took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then when they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So Joseph of Arimathea had not consented to what had happened, but he was known by the council. It says here he was a council member. And we know from Scripture that it was his tomb. This new tomb, not reused, it was a new tomb. He was buried by someone known. And we find out he was buried where they knew. It says, verse 55, and the women who came with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. So the women knew where he was at. Joseph of Arimathea that buried him was someone known by the council. He was a just and upright person. In contrast, if we look over to Matthew 27, 62 to 66, Matthew 27, 62 to 66, on the next day which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate. So they go to Pilate too, saying, sir, we remember where he was while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, calling Jesus a deceiver, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So what have we established as we think about this? They are concerned. Chief priests and Pharisees, they're concerned that the disciples will come and steal Jesus' body and claim that he rose from the dead. and it will be a deception. And then they don't want that rumor going out. So they want a guard placed. To get permission, Pilate says, use your own. So they place a guard. This establishes that everybody knew where Jesus' body was buried. It was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. The ladies knew. Joseph of Arimathea knew. Joseph of Arimathea was a just man. They set the guard, so the guards knew. There was a seal set. So it established that Jesus' body went into this tomb where everybody knew. And they wanted a guard set so that they would not, they didn't even want to worry about a rumor. That the disciples could claim that that Jesus rose again. And because everybody knew where the tomb was at, if the tomb was empty, it would perpetuate the claim that Jesus rose again. They didn't want that. They didn't want the disciples coming and stealing and claiming that. So they set a guard to keep them from stealing the body. And maybe not by their intention, or maybe by their intention, those guards could say, his body's still in there because we made sure. There's a seal placed on this tomb, and we've guarded it, and his body has not left. It's not going anywhere, because we've been here the whole time. And if they can get all the way to Monday, they'll say, see, the body's still in there, we've guarded it, no one's got past us, and there it is. And it's in the tomb everybody knew. There's no secret tomb, and them moving around, we've been watching it, this is the guard, Joseph of Arimathea put it there. It sets it. But when Jesus rose from the dead, when they might have wanted them to be witnesses that he was dead, and still in the tomb, and they wanted to prevent from any false rumors, they put a guard there. It turned out that they became witnesses of another sort. Because when we look farther, we find out that the guards in Matthew 28:11-15. Just another page, depending on your Bible. In Matthew 28:11-15, it says, now they, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. Jesus had risen already at this point. There's a lot that had taken place. Verse 12, when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. Now, if you're a guard and you sleep on duty, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. But they paid him off, and they said, listen, verse 14, and if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did all as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So they set the guard, because they didn't want the disciples to claim that Jesus rose when, in effect, they had stolen the body. So they set the guard so the body didn't get stolen. And then they turned around and says, hey, by the way, the body's not there because the body got stolen. But they had to pay off the guards and protect the guards so they didn't get killed or punished. Because then those guards could be the witnesses claiming the disciples stole him so that the rumors wouldn't spread. But everybody knew where the tomb was. and the tomb was empty. And what does it also tell us? That the soldiers knew that he had risen. And the religious leaders in Jerusalem knew that he had risen because they had to bribe the guards. And they probably also had to bribe or pay off or cut a deal, possibly with the governor, which could have been Pilate. So by him being buried, it established a place. By him being buried by someone of reputation, it established the place even stronger, and it was a new grave. There was no deception and hiding. And I gave it to the disciples, and the disciple says that he arose. No, he was buried by a reputable man in a reputable place that was known by the ladies that had been followers, known by this reputable man, known enough that they were able to send a guard and set a guard. So it establishes where Jesus was buried and that his body was in there by sources not of the disciples. And so then it lays the groundwork, then that by doing all those things, it gives credibility to the people in that area that he had actually risen because there were guards, even though the guards say he was stolen. There were people that knew. There were people that knew. It reminds us that there's sometimes that some people, we think of the parable or when Jesus shares about the poor man Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom, but the one that oppressed him was crying out that, hey, send somebody back to let my family know, my brothers know, that they can avoid hell. And he says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Unfortunately, there's some people, even when they know the truth, are going to reject it. Sometimes they're trying to argue with them about the truth. They're not going to get it. They need the Holy Spirit to convict them. They need to be brought to a place of conviction. Paul talks about that he hands people over to Satan so that they might be redeemed. It is you need to feel how bad it is when God's hand is completely off your life. And maybe then you'll wake up. You can't always reason with them. It's not always a logic debate. Yes, some people can be convinced that way, but some people are so stubborn and they've hardened their hearts against God. They were in animosity, in battle, and saw Jesus as the enemy. And so like David of old, where David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then kept trying to cover up his sin to the point that he killed her husband. So deep in sin that you just go deeper. So deep in sin you can't see it unless something wakes you up. So when we pray for people, sometimes you need to allow them to hit the wall, to realize that they need God. But in our story, as we look through these truths, virgin birth, he was born without sin, he went through temptation. We didn't cover that, but Scripture tells us he went through temptation. He did not commit sin. He died on the cross for our sins and to help us with that sin nature as well, to take care of that. And then he was buried. And the burying was not the end, but the way that he was buried, that it was known he was buried, and it was known by very many and many people where he was buried, gave credence that when he arose, that he had arose. Gave credence that he had died, and credence that he had arose. So we don't have to feel like that we do walk in faith. And with faith, believing in what God has done. But it's not an irrational thing. It's not, well, some might say, you're just stupid people, and they follow the science. Well, there is a miraculous. And this is a very logical progression and understanding if you're open to the truth. Don't feel like you're stupid because you believe Jesus rose from the dead. Don't let people tell you that you're uneducated. If you were just educated, you understand that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. That's not the way it goes. Some have, when they've opened their minds and actually dig into it, they actually helps them realize Jesus did die and he did arose. So this is just another step in our journey. As we get closer and we talk about the resurrection, and we'll talk about more in the same passage of Scripture, as we approach and we come to the time of Easter, when we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. But these truths and tenets are all important. And as we understand these things, it enhances and uplifts us in our understanding in Easter. As we build towards it, becomes that joyous celebration. Because he arose, and he arose bodily. Think about that. He arose physically. Just didn't like arise and float off. His body. It was a physical resurrection. And we'll talk about more of that next week on his resurrection. Let's be standing together. Lord Jesus, we pray as we study about your death, burial, and resurrection, that we will start to be reestablished in our faith. That these tenets, we will say, oh, that makes such sense. It fits together. And as it becomes our rock that we anchor our faith upon, that it's kind of like that concrete that it just becomes more hardened. Makes us more secure because we understand our faith in our Scripture. And it helps us to be less wavering, not tossed to and fro, but more solidified, more steadfast and sure, as the song would say it. And that it gives us strength as we battle those things, and we battle some of the unknowns of what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen this afternoon, but we do believe. But it's more than a belief. It's an understanding that you came, you died, you were buried, and you arose. We thank you for these truths. Help us to strengthen our walk with you, we pray. In Jesus' name.